Well, you know, technical deficiencies, we still get to worship the Lord, and that's what we're here to do. And we have spent all month in talking about evangelism, discipleship, missions, and we're going to end it today, at least in our studies. We're going to go out and do after today, but I want to remind you where we've come from. We looked at the qualifications of being a missionary, and we saw that there were only four. And that every single person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ has these qualifications. Number one, you have to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. We saw that in the demon-possessed man, if you remember. Number two, you have to have gotten God's deliverance. You have to have been saved by Jesus Christ. Number three, you have to spend time with Him. And then number four, you need to be burdened to go. You have to have a concern for people. And we saw that in the second week as we brought the stretcher into play. The four men brought their friend on the stretcher to see Jesus. And we saw that they were concerned about Him. They had a burden for Him. But most importantly, they believed that God could do something for that man. That man had not walked in his life, yet he picked up his stretcher and he walked out the door. Those four men brought their friend to Jesus because they really believed that Jesus could heal him, that Jesus could forgive him. We need to have that same belief because that belief motivates us to bring people to Jesus, to take the word to Jesus Christ. If we're lukewarm on what Jesus can do, we are not going to get out there. We are not going to take the word out of these walls. We are not going to go do what God has called us to do. We got to be fired up. Now, it doesn't mean we have to be emotionally a yeller and screamer, okay? But we have to be fired up about what Jesus can do. Can He resurrect the dead? Absolutely. He did it with Lazarus. We saw that. But every time there is a dead sinner saved by grace, the Holy Spirit gets in there and brings that person alive. That is just as much of a miracle, more so, than raising somebody from the dead. And then we saw last week that God gave us a plan for the way we're supposed to go out. We don't have to invent the plan. He gave it to us. We have to continually go weeping, caring about people, being concerned about people. We have to go sowing, and we know that we're supposed to sow the word, right? We saw the parable of the soils last week where the word of God gets distributed. It falls on all kinds of soil. We don't get to pick where it goes. We don't need to worry about the whether or not we should tell somebody about God. That's pretty clear we should. You know, Isaiah was telling us last night they went down to Broadway to talk to people. He told us in Sunday school this morning that some lady threw a cigarette at him, told him to get away. But you know what? The word was spread. The word was spread. God said, you go forth continually weeping, sowing, and you will reap. That's the plan. It's four simple words. Going, weeping, sowing, and reaping. So today we get to the last part. Today we get to the last part, and I've called this the go in gospel. If you notice, gospel starts with the word go. All through all of these lessons, we have seen Jesus Christ and the Old Testament even telling us that we are to go. And it is one of the things that we don't do a lot anymore. We are going to go. God calls us to go. We are going to be offering this church organized activities over the next year where you will get many, many opportunities to go. We're working on several right now. But those do not replace your independent personal obligation to go. You can go to Walmart. You can go to your school. You can go to Kroger. You can go anywhere. Remember where the first opportunity we have to witness in mission is? Our families. So go to your family. What's the next one? Your community. Go to your town. Go to all those people you normally interact with and share the Word of God. You've got the message. What is the message? Christ died for my sins and was buried. He arose again and was seen. That's it. Everybody can say that. We simply present that gospel. We present that gospel message. So today we're going to talk about going. How it is we go. What should empower us to go? What about the concerns? What should drive us to go? And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and stand if you will. And this is the Great Commission. You guys will know this verse. But this is what Jesus tells us to do. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You can be seated. Look, this verse should give us great confidence and great assurance and great comfort in the fact that Jesus is telling us to go. And Jesus not only gave us that verse, but I want to show you something from Scripture. Number one, He gave us Himself as an example, and He told us the worth of a single soul. He gave Himself as an example, and He taught us the worth of a single soul. You know, a lot of people think, well, gosh, if I could go and make a huge difference with hundreds of people, I would do that. But there's just a couple of people around. You know what God would say to that? Two letters. What do you think? Go. That's right. He's going to say go. It doesn't matter if it's 100 people, if it doesn't matter if it's one person. Because to God, to Jesus, the single soul is worth everything. So I want you to think about Luke giving Himself as an example. Luke 19, you guys can turn over there. You know this story. This is the story of Zacchaeus. We all sang that song in Sunday school, right? The wee little man, he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. But I want you to see the Lord's mission here. I want you to see Jesus' mission. So you know Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, hated in his society. He was the worst of the worst, and he was one of the richest men around because he got to skim the profit off of the lower tax collectors. He got to skim the profit off the people he was taking the taxes from, and he basically admitted to stealing from them. He knew he did that. He knew that he was not favored in society. But when you get over to Luke 19, you start to see that Jesus entered Jericho and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. So here's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thinks, ooh, I've got this great plan. This is what's going through Zacchaeus' mind. I want to see who this Jesus Christ is, so I'm going to climb up that sycamore tree. That was Zacchaeus' plan. Did God have a plan that day? Oh, yes, He did. Here's God's plan. And when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him and said to him, "Hey, man, what's your name?" No, that's not what he said. He looked up at him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Now, I want you to think about that. I must stay at your house. This was another one of those divine appointments we've seen all throughout Scripture. Remember the lady at the well? Jesus is going to take this incredibly roundabout path to get where He's going that leads Him through Samaria, and He tells His disciples, "I must needs go through Samaria." Why did He have to go to Samaria? Because there was a woman, one woman, He needed to meet. Why did He go through Jericho that day? Because there was one man He needed to meet. Jesus, the Lord God, Creator of the universe, went out of His way for one person on multiple occasions in the gospel. Can we go out of our way for one person? If He can do it, can we do it? Amen. We can. We should. So look what happens then. So He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. And then, of course, here's the crowd. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything by false accusation, I restore fourfold." The law at that point required him to restore only two. Okay? So he's going above and beyond. Jesus has made a change in his life, and he's going beyond what he has to do. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, here's what I want you to see, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost individually. One by one, we all have to make a decision to accept him. One by one, we all have to say, yes, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. One by one, we are all saved. We know how important a soul is. Turn over to Luke 15 while you're close. You all know this parable, but I want to emphasize it from this point. Luke 15, verse 4 through 7, this is the parable of the lost sheep. So we saw Zacchaeus. We've seen the woman at the well. We've seen the blind man. We've seen all of these people that Jesus went out of his way to change their lives. And here we go with one. Luke 15, verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? We tend to make judgments. You know, if we lost one thing, sometimes we would say, I better stay and protect the 99. How many of you would think that, at least as a thought? Yeah, we would. That's the way we think, not the way God thinks. I'm going after the one, he says. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, picks it up, lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Here's the thing. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Do you understand when one sinner repents, when you go out of your way and you impact the life of one person and it changes their life, that there is a party in heaven? One person. So is one person important? Oh yeah. And we need never to misunderstand that principle. We need never to misunderstand that if we have two people in this church building, there will be a message preached. The message is there. God's word will be there. God brings people. It's like that little boy in the Operation Christmas Child. Who would have thought to send him bandages like we talked about? Whoever, God put it on somebody's heart, hey, put bandages in that box. And then God orchestrated it out of the millions of boxes, okay? Again, don't lose sight of that. Millions of boxes every single year. Somehow, what an amazing coincidence, we would say, right? Wrong. But somehow, by godly direction, that boy gets the box with the bandages in it. And we think, well, isn't that sweet? You don't see God in that. We should see God in everything. We should see God in that. And he says, look, one soul is so important to me. Jesus said it like this, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Jesus said, look, I want you to understand that I am giving you an example. I'm leaving you with this lesson. You do what I do. You're my ambassadors. You take the message to the people that I want you to take it to, and you do it individually. You can do it as a group, but don't worry about doing it individually. If it's just one, that's great, because that single soul is worth more than anything in the world. So always remember that. Your efforts are not lost. And you know what? Sometimes you'll be talking to somebody in front of you at a coffee shop, and there's somebody over there listening. You don't even know they're listening. Maybe your witness that day was to the person who's eavesdropping on you. You don't know. God promises us His word will never return void. He will use His word as His power to get whoever He wants to get. So do not ever downplay the fact that you're talking to one person, but do not ever avoid it because it's one person. Now the second thing we need to learn, and this one is coming up more and more today because of what's happening in the world, there is a sense of urgency in our need to go. This great commission that He gives us demands urgency. And there's three ways. I want you to see each of these. Number one, Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So we initially start with a very limited time span of time to reach people. It's their lifetime. There are denominations, there are whole religions that teach that you can be saved after you're dead. That is contrary to the Bible. There is no such thing in the Bible as baptism for the dead or salvation of the dead. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we have an urgency to reach people before they die. And, of course, we all have a book, right, that tells us when everybody's going to die. Anybody got that book? No. You look at your birth certificate, it doesn't come with an expiration date. We don't know when that's going to happen. So because we don't know when people are going to die, our loved ones to begin with, our family members to begin with, the urgency needs to be there because it could happen this afternoon. The urgency to go to them and share the message that God has given you has to be there. And it's an urgency for you to go. It's not an urgency, well, gosh, somebody needs to go. Somebody ought to go visit that person. Somebody ought to share the gospel with them. You know what? If you're saying that, take a look in the mirror. Let me introduce you to somebody. That's who should share the gospel with them. There's another urgency coming. We're going to talk about this a lot next weekend. The next event on God's timetable is called the rapture. That is when God comes and He takes His church away. That begins a 7-year period of literal hell on earth called the tribulation. Those people who have not accepted Jesus Christ and who are alive at that point will go into the tribulation. If you know anything about the tribulation and what's going to happen during that time frame, you do not want anyone you love, anyone you like, anyone you remotely know to go through that period. It will literally be hell on earth. So the urgency is to go out and reach those people before the rapture. When's the rapture? Well, we don't know that either. Jesus did tell us, He said, look, you know, you guys need to be able to read the seasons. You may not know the exact day and hour when I'm coming back, but you can look at the seasons. You can look at the fruit trees and see that they're getting ready to put out fruit. When you do that, you know the fruit's coming. You can look at the clouds and know the rain's coming. You can do the same thing with mine. What does He say? He said, you will start to hear of wars, rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation. That's ethnic group against ethnic group, translated correctly. We see that in Israel today. We're going to see that a lot next week. You're going to hear about all these calamities that are going on, and they're going to get more and more frequent. They're going to get more and more severe. They're going to get more and more deadly. We see that happening. He says, look, that's not the end, but it's the beginning of the end. And you need to be urgent about sharing the gospel with these people because you do not want them to go into that tribulation period. And remember, we've talked statistically that for some reason, it takes people now 11 times hearing the gospel, a little bit more than 11 times, hearing a gospel presentation to make their commitment. So maybe you're number 8. Maybe you're number 6. Maybe you'll never reap that particular person. Maybe you'll never hear their confession of Christ. Maybe they'll throw cigarettes at you and try to chase you away, but you know what? They heard. And if that's going to be one of the 11 times it takes to get them, then you've contributed. You've done what you were called to do. You've expressed that sense of urgency. And there's a third group, and this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Those people who reject Jesus Christ do not get a second chance after the rapture. You know, the movie series Left Behind kind of gives it an idea that there's a second chance. The Bible tells us, no, that's not the way it's going to work. In fact, the Lord Himself sends a delusion upon them so strong that they believe Satan's lie because they actually rejected the Messiah. We don't want people to reject the Messiah. We want people to accept Jesus Christ. We want to explain to them what He has done for us, what He's willing to do for them, what He has come to earth to do for all of us. And that is to forgive them of their sins and to take them, give them a place in heaven. So there's the urgency. Does that make you feel like it's urgent? I hope it does, because it should make you feel time is closing in. We know that we live in the last days already. They're getting closer. Each and every breath we take, we are closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And that is going to come. And people, that is one of those things, if you believe it, just like those four guys carrying that cot, if you believe it, that is going to motivate you to get out and go. And then finally, number three, the best part of this, Jesus promises to go with us. You go back to Matthew 28, he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what if I go into a situation that is dangerous? God is with you. What if I go into a situation that's really safe? God is with you. What's going to happen to me when I share the gospel at work because my bosses are not Christian? God's going to be with you. What if I lose my job? Then God will provide. Do we believe that? The Bible says that He clothes the sparrows, He puts clothes on the flowers of the field, and we are so much more important than them, yet we worry about how things are going to come. We need to put our trust in Him. And listen, God not only is with us, God goes before us. You realize that every person that you ever talked to, God knew that you were getting ready to do that. And every person you've ever shared the gospel with, God has divined it that they're going to hear whatever it is you're going to say. And He's working on them already. Because remember, it is God's wish that none perish, right? That all come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in Deuteronomy 31:8, He says, "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you." That's important. He goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So God is going before you. He's going to be with you, and He's going to stay with you this entire time. There were Christians who were killed by Hamas. Okay? Was God with them? Yes, He was. Now they are with Him. The worst that the world can do to us is to send us to our loving Heavenly Father. Isn't that awesome? And you look at it like that. I mean, that is an amazing thing. The worst the world can do from their perspective is to send us home. Amen. So the urgency is there. The example is there. The concern for a single soul is there. But this promise that Jesus gives us, "I am with you even to the end of the age," to the end of this time, when you go, when you share, when you disciple, does not matter how eloquent the words are that come out of your mouth. It doesn't matter if you use tracks. It doesn't matter if you use videos. It doesn't matter if you bumble through the presentation. I want you to do good, okay? Don't get me wrong. But if you bumble it, you know who won't? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what is the power behind your words. You cannot save anyone. The Word of God can, and the Word of God coming out of your mouth is what will do the salvation. Understand that. So yes, be as eloquent as you can. Be as direct as you can. Be as clear as you can. But be as prayerful as you can. Because you know God is with you, and He's going to use whatever you say to change somebody's life. One soul at a time, one person at a time, until all the end of the age. So what's going to happen when you go? I'll tell you that you will be scared. I'll tell you that you're going to be nervous. I'll tell you that you're going to be probably a little worried. Don't be. But I tell you that you will never be so amazed as when you see God at work. When somebody accepts Jesus Christ, and you can tell, you know that they've made that confession, not just with their mouth, but they've realized that they are a wretched beggar, just like we've talked about all year. They realize, "I've got nothing to offer Him, but I need Him. I need Him as my Lord and Savior." They're bankrupt. They don't have anything. But they welcome Him in. You see that. Boy, there's nothing. There's nothing like seeing that. God wants you to go on this grand adventure. He wants you to go out and tell people about Him. He knows people are going to shut doors in your face. He knows people are going to throw cigarettes at you. He knows people are going to say nasty things about you. But you know what He wants you to do? He wants you to go. So here's my challenge. If you are not yet a child of God, this probably makes no sense to you, but let me tell you this. Somebody, including people that brought you here to church today, are saying, I want you to hear a message that's really, really important. I want you to hear about Jesus Christ who came to earth to die for your sins so that you could live forever with Him. That's the gospel message. So if you're here and you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, this is the day to do it. You see Jesus Christ putting a value on your life. How much was that value? It was His own life. The life of the Creator God, King of heaven, King of the universe, was given for you. See, we have a habit of saying it was given for us. It was given for us, but each and every one of us. So understand that. And if you're a Christian and you've not been going, you've been shirking that, don't do it. Say, God, I confess that I have been sinning. I've not been going where I should have been going. I've not been sharing like I should have been sharing. I know You're with me. Empower my words. Give me an opportunity this week to share Your gospel. And again, I promise you, He will. It may be at your house. It may be with your spouse. It may be with your kids. It may be with your grandkids. It may be with a next door neighbor. It may be with somebody at work. That I don't know. But when you say, God, I want to do what You've called me to do. I want to go and do. I want to go and tell. He will give you that opportunity. When He gives you that opportunity as believers, what's our responsibility? To take it. Real simple. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You this morning. We thank You that Jesus cared enough from time eternal to plan for our salvation. We thank You that He cared enough to come to earth, to offer Himself as a voluntary sacrifice for our sins, that He cared enough to hang on that cross when He could have easily come down, that He cared enough to be in the grave, that He cared enough to be resurrected, that He cared enough to show us the example that we need to have to take the gospel to others. Father, I pray that You put that same amount of caring in our hearts. Make it burn. Make it burn so that we will not be quenched until we get out, until we share, until we tell others about You. Father God, I just pray that You have Your way in each and every heart today. I pray that You work. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, Father. It's all from You. I pray that You work in our hearts. Show us our needs. Show us where we need to repent of sin. Confess You as Lord and Savior and put our faith in You. Father God, just have Your way during this time. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.